on Smile 90.4 FM.
Cyber threats can't be left out of the equation with organizations weighing up benefits for employees to work from home after the president's statement on methods to combat the COVID-19 epidemic. Now, with more people working remotely and relying on online platforms, new cyber threats are emerging. And here to chat more about that is Charles Ukerman, CEO at AVS Cybersecurity. Charles, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. A pleasure talking to you.
I would presume that it's absolutely crucial for organizations to get a, I suppose we can call it a working from home cybersecurity strategy in place, Charles.
It certainly is. I think traditionally organizations catered for the execs to work remote and from airports and across board and wherever. But the game has just changed. They now need to provision that same kind of platform for all the employees, or for most employees at least, that work remotely. So, and that's a bit of a challenge because people can go about it spending a lot of money. I just heard today someone buying like 250 laptops for their organization. I mean, it's like just way over. So people go overboard and don't think it through. One must be pragmatic in terms of how you approach it.
How should one approach it, do you think, Shav, given your years of experience?
I think there's a few basic things. In our organization, I mean, 90% of our staff are now working remotely. But what we've sort of done from a security perspective was that some of them have laptops, some of them have desktops, and we set up their desktops at home because on those desktops we've got the right security software. We know that they are adequately protected from an endpoint device point of view. And what we also have is for the listeners, we call it a VPN, a virtual private network. And what that basically is, it's a little piece of software that you open on the computer and it creates an encrypted connection between your computer and the office network. That will ensure that there could be no data lost in between, because that's where the biggest risk is that people work from home. They maybe work on their Wi-Fi and so on, not necessarily with dongles, or like because dongles are not necessarily used anymore. People all have Wi-Fi, but their Wi-Fi routers aren't properly protected. They still have default passwords on those routers, so they would use the Wi-Fi, but they could be highly exposed if they do so and it's not properly protected via the VPN tunnels and so on.
How can one protect one's Wi-Fi at home?
Well, I think the first thing is that whoever is looking after the Wi-Fi, I mean, if it's the service provider or the organization, let the organization's IT infrastructure people just quickly log into it, change the default passwords. That's the biggest problem. People haven't changed the default passwords and create a secure encryption a connection between the computer where they work from into the cloud or into the infrastructure. That is probably the most basic thing they can do. I'm not even talking about having antivirus and these kind of things because that's a total different ballgame. There's a whole lot of work involved there. But making sure that those two things are in place, I think you are already taking care of a whole lot of things. But that's just the technology component of it, obviously.
What would you say are the biggest cyber risk or a bigger cyber risk if, say, good governance is neglected in this sort of scenario that we're sketching?
Well, we both know that cyber criminals make use of big events to distribute malware and to try and hack into organizations and people. So there's obviously a magnitude of information flowing around on the internet and mails regarding the virus and what it does and what it doesn't do and so on. I mean, coronavirus.com, for instance, is a cyber criminal website. So people must be very careful what emails they open during this stage, because if they're going to receive a host of mails regarding the coronavirus, because it's such a massive theme, that there could be a percentage of those mails that they receive which may be have criminal intent. So use a reputable source where you get your information and don't just follow your nose and read everything that you possibly can and receive. It's just a waste of time. It is negative energy. At the same time, it's not positive from that point of view. So people need to be more aware of the kind of mails they receive, because we know that about 92% of all viruses are spread via mails. So they would use the mail platform more than ever before. Yep. I think that's what the first tip I would give listeners.
Because I see that, I think it was this week, that Cybrick also issued a warning that cyber criminals, as you mentioned there, Charles, are exploiting this particular event. They call it Corona Mania, exploiting our concerns around our health and safety and utilizing, social engineering to manipulate one, and in so doing to give out our important details.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, safety or health is one of the basic needs of human beings.
Yeah.
So it is very, very close to the heart to know what you should do and what you should not do. It's not something that's happening out there in the middle of Africa, in the middle of Europe, and it doesn't affect us. It is really close to home. So everyone is very, very aware of it, and that we are safe ourselves and our loved ones and our older ones are safe. So we obviously want to know as much as possible. It is a matter of being precautious in terms of what we read on the internet and the mails.
Because these emails also are becoming increasingly sophisticated that it's almost so difficult to distinguish whether they are valid or not.
Most definitely so. And again, here comes the point. If you're at home and you just got your normal Wi-Fi router and you connect into the internet and you connect into some sort of cloud service, maybe Office 365 or Amazon or wherever, you don't sit behind a corporate firewall in your organization. I mean, usually in a normal circumstances where you sit at the office, there is protection mechanisms, layers of protection in the organization to ensure that you are protected from these kind of malicious mails and malicious websites and so on. But when you sit at home, you don't have that same sophistication in terms of firewalling. So hence, again, emphasizing the virtual private network scenario, which means that you don't go out into the internet straight from your computer or from your router at home. You basically go through your office via the VPN into the internet, which means you still have the same layers of protection on your computer by creating that secure tunnel between your computer and the office environment. That is, as I say, it's probably the simplest way to ensure that people, because people don't have firewalls at home, they don't have the protection, the layers of protection at home, and that's probably the simplest way to handle it, as mentioned.
Smile 90.4 FM, we're getting cybersecurity insights from Charles Ukerman. He's the CEO at AVS Cybersecurity. What other cybersecurity measures can organizations have in place when employees are working remotely, apart from the VPN, as you described?
Well, I would imagine things like the normal updates on the antivirus. So, if they use their own device. For many, many years, I think you've heard the term bring your own device. And that was literally where people will bring their own mobile phones and laptops to the office, but they will then comply to corporate networks. What we're sitting with now is bring your own home.
Yeah.
To the office. So the scenario there is the same, is make sure the antivirus is being updated. Make sure your computers are properly patched. Make sure that there are backups of those computers and the data that you have. And again, this is where cloud makes so much sense, because if the data does not reside on a dedicated server sitting at the office, but it actually sits in the cloud, you already have availability of the data. But then again, the architects or the IT guys at the organization need to make sure that they have the right protection mechanisms of that data that now sits in the cloud and people accessing it from everywhere, because that means anyone can access it from anywhere if they don't have proper passwords and proper mechanisms in place to monitor the exceptions or the anomalies on where people are accessing it from. So not to elaborate too further on it, but to give you an example, if I sit and work from Johannesburg and I connect into my cloud platform, which maybe sits in Cape Town or Johannesburg or so, that's all good. But the moment I start connecting from Germany and the United States or North Korea, wherever, you would want to have those kind of monitoring mechanisms in place. And this is where corporate IT plays a role, is to ensure that they have got those monitoring mechanisms in place to see where people are connecting into the corporate information that sits in the cloud.
I've been made aware that there have been organizations who've been trial running working from home with their employees to see if there any problems that they can possibly potentially iron out should it become a ever-present reality. Do you think that's advisable for organizations to have these trial runs to plug any holes that may arise from these trials?
Most definitely. I think it is such a positive thing. I mean, we know it's not nice to sit in traffic certain times of the day. What it also does, it pushes up the maturity of the organization and on the individuals as well. It really puts a whole lot of pressure on the people dynamics. Forget the technology for a second. Mm. But the people dynamics, I mean, if you think about it, you sit and work at the office, you interact with people, there's a whole lot of energy that's been released because the one could be positive or negative energy, but let's put a packet positive. There's a whole lot of positive energy of things that are happening and so on. Now suddenly you are an extrovert, you sit and you work at home, and what do you do with yourself now? How do you ensure that same level of energy is then released in terms of executing your work? I think for some people it will be probably a bit difficult to work from home purely because of the people dynamic aspects of it. I'm not even talking about the self-discipline in terms of standing up a certain time of the day, starting work at a certain time of the day, taking your breaks, varying how you are approaching your job space is totally different. So I think by experimenting with it is brilliant. Because it puts a situation where we can probably spend less on real estate in having office space. At the end of the day, what do we want? We want people that deliver a certain amount of output. Whether they work at home, working at combined with a whole lot of other people, it is the amount of output that they are creating, and that's ultimately what any organization wants. Probably some. Difficult for some because you have to interact with people. Look at the entertainment industry as a classic example. You can't do that remotely, but for office people and so on, experimenting with it, testing the cultural aspects of the organization in the process, I think it's good because it's a tendency that's been happening in the United States and Europe for many years. It's only now that we are pushed into this much, much faster than we ever imagined. I think it's a good practice to do that.
Yeah, it certainly is accelerating our use of technology. But Charles, you also pointed out some real key aspects when working away from the office, because it's not just about that sort of general term about working remotely, but what does that entail? For example, as you say, if you're an extroverted type of personality, you may feel slightly anxious not being able to communicate with people and looking at your four walls, for example.
Exactly, and I think this is where put processes in place where, from a leadership point of view, where you connect with your people. It could be, especially now, it could be 8 o'clock in the morning. Guys, connect with everyone, get everyone on a conference call. Mm. Guys, here's the task on hand, here's our activities. Are we all good to rock? Yes, let's go. Mm. Maybe do a connection again, maybe at 1 o'clock. And in between, as you need to understand information, previously you would just quickly stand up, ask someone something. Now you probably need to get onto a Skype call, or you probably need to send them a mail or a WhatsApp or so, just like, listen, can we quickly handle or discuss this point? Or you know what, let's quickly get two or three people onto a conference call and just quickly discuss this point. It is a very, very different dynamic. And I think if organizations tackle this in a positive way, I think we would be quite surprised with the kind of productivity gains we could potentially get from it. But it requires very strong leadership. It's not going to happen by itself. I think leadership has to give the pointers through, have to put the guidance through, and ensure that people are keeping on focusing on what's the task on hand. They need to, I mean, the shops need to be open, if I can call it that. The shop needs to be needs to stay open. We can't now, because we work at home, take a vacation approach. We now need to do it more than ever before, because our economy certainly is going to take a bit of a knock in this process. It's good. I think there are certain industries which may not even make it after this whole change of the world. But neither here nor there, it needs to, leadership needs to take a very strong running from the front, giving guidance, giving people pointers in terms of how the engagement, the people dynamic component, is handled, so that we don't stop working. The world is not stopping. The world is carrying on. It's just carrying on in a different way.
Are there training programs available, Charles, for organizations and employees to get more information around this?
Yes, there's certainly, from a cyber security perspective, there are specific training programs that handles those kind of environment scenarios and things like that. And from a people training perspective, in terms of small people now suddenly having to work from home, I am actually not quite sure what formal training programs are in place to say how to make that mind shift change and that adoption change. I'm quite sure there would be something available, but, you know, we've got so many SMEs in this country that have been working from home for many, many years, actually. And so it's, I think we can maybe, you know, set up a tip line from all these individual entrepreneurs who've been working from home and slogging it through. I think the advantage of people that worked in the office was that they still have an organization structure behind them, where the small organization that didn't have it, they have to slog it all through themselves. But I think we can gain a lot of tips from the micro enterprises in South Africa working from home. They could probably give us more tips than I would be able to give you in 2 hours.
You know, the changing nature of work certainly forced upon us, but it is an opportunity to explore another way of doing things. And as you say, this may certainly be the way forward, the way of the future.
I think so. I definitely think so. I mean, cloud, if you look at cloud computing and how people interact, I mean, Office 365, for instance, is a normal phenomenon. 5 years ago, people would say, what? What is Office 365, for instance, Microsoft's Office 365? These days, it's a general phenomenon. You get it with your computer. And people, if you think about WhatsApp, if you think about Facebook, I mean, those are all cloud platforms. I mean, so it's not that it's totally unfamiliar to our worlds. It is relatively familiar. I think the change that comes about is, how do we create a formalized structure? How do we create a productive structure? And that is a people question. It's not a technology question. It is probably touching onto business processes in a way. How we do business. So it's going to ask. It's going to seriously challenge business processes and how people do business in organizations, but it at the same time may open up certain opportunities that we have never seen before, because suddenly we have come to realize how we can do things very, very differently. And I think that's where the opportunities must be grabbed with all hands in order to use those gains once we are out of this month or 2 months or however long it's going to take.
Charles Ukerman, CEO at AVS Cybersecurity. Charles, we'll leave it there for this evening, but certainly appreciate your input and insights on this matter. Much appreciated. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.